Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Well, hi everyone. Happy Halloween. It is, of course, Ladies of Liverpool. I'm Leanne Campbell. Thank you for joining us. This week, you're going to want to listen to this more than once, I think. We've got Derek Acora in the studio. In true Halloween style, we're going to hear from the man himself about the most terrifying moments he's had speaking to the spirits of the world. Maybe you've had experiences yourself with talking to ghosts. You've seen things, you've heard things, and you want to listen to someone who has all the knowledge that you could ask for. I want you to do me a little favour with this one as well. If you're listening via the app, the iTunes app, I want you to rate and review and leave a comment, especially when you hear the last 2 minutes. Something special happened for me. Whether you believe or you don't, it had me in tears. This is Derek Acora and it's Ladies of Liverpool.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
How lucky am I to be sat in a studio Halloween weekend with the one and only Derek Acora. I'm sure you've all got someone in your family or one of your friends in your circle who've been to see Derek, and the stories are legendary. No one like him. Derek, talk to me about the gift that you've got.
Okay. Hi, Leanne. So, I've been working now as a spirit medium for a lot of years, inherited basically back from my grandmother, my mum's mum. She was a medium for 50-odd years. And often it's said it's passed down through the family.
Right.
And in which case, it was me. So I started from a young age seeing spirit people and going back to my grand saying, I've seen this. Don't worry, don't worry. In other words, she was like, trying to calm me down, because this was like a new world to me. I didn't know existed before this all started happening.
Was it like when you see in films and you see, you know, children, they see auras or they'll see orbs or they'll actually see dead people?
Very similar.
Okay.
I saw one of my grandfathers in my grandmother's house at the top. She lived in an old Victorian house.
Yeah.
In Brasenose Road, Kirkdale.
Yeah.
She had rooms on every floor. And Gran got the attic, as they call them, done out to like a kid's playroom.
Yeah.
So when we came home from school, before we had tea, we'd be sent right to the top of the house, play there, and then we'll call you down, me and your mum, for your dinner.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, or tea, whatever you want to call it. And this one particular day, it was my Gran that shouted us down, and Colin, my older brother, and my older sister by year, Barbara, and me, three of us were up there. Come on, it's tea time, come on. Colin, with being the oldest, he got down the stairs, so many landings going down.
Yeah.
And I was, being the young one, the youngest, I was the last to get down the steps. But just as I was going to go out of this room, I heard a bang to my left. Was another room right opposite. And in the doorway, I saw this man. I could see him very clearly in like a three-piece suit, dark colour. And I could see his features. I could see he was quite an elderly man. And he just smiled. And I froze. I thought, there's a stranger in my grand's house.
Yeah.
Not knowing, or at that time thinking, I'm seeing a spirit person. A ghost, as some people
It just call looked it. As real as a normal guy.
Yeah. And then he spoke. He said to me, go down and tell your nana, those are his words, tell your nana that Richard is here. And I said, Richard, what are you doing? I spoke to him. What are you doing in my gran's house? Who let you through that front door? And he just smiled. Next minute I turned around, he'd gone. So I ran. I nearly fell down the stairs.
I can imagine a little tiny boy with a message.
Yeah, my gran and my mum saying, there's a stranger, gran, up in the top room.
Yeah.
I've never seen him. And I'm saying to mum, how did he get in? Mother looks at me, mother, and my gran looks at. Gran gets older, man. Come on, son. Up the stairs. Right to the very top, and we walked into the room. He wasn't in the doorway. Walked into the room, no sign of him. But Gran, being a medium, she assumed and guessed.
Yeah.
Never said nothing to me. We left that room. Gran must have said to Mum, he's too young. I was only six.
Yeah.
He's too young to understand about all this.
Yeah.
But we'll just say the man will not come in here again because we've changed the locks.
So she didn't explain to you what it was? She thought you wasn't ready?
No. I was 9 going on 10 before she sat me down.
And what was that conversation like for I've got a little boy, he's 9 right now, so I can imagine sitting with my Joseph. I know what he can understand,
well,
I know what he can't.
When she said it, and then she used the word spirit, and then she transferred it over to ghost. I shook.
I literally shook in my shorts. Yeah.
Short trousers then. And, oh, so you're telling me, so I started crying.
Yeah.
I've seen a ghost. I don't want to see ghosts.
Yeah.
Son, let me tell you who it was. So I said, go on, your description. And Richard is your grandfather. He passed away 2.5 years before you were born.
Oh, Derek. Goosebumps.
I'll tell you. And I said, I don't want to see him. And I ran away from Ran to my mother. Don't worry, you're not going to be seen anymore. And my mum shouts to me, Gran, Mam, stop it. You're disturbing him. Stop it.
Yeah.
And they must have had a good conflict. So they waited until I got to, you know, that age to explain to me. And then I started getting experiences like an awful lot of people have said it's happened. I went to bed one night and I shared one room with my brother. We had two separate beds.
Yeah.
And we're in bed and Colin's asleep. I'm asleep. And then I'm awake. And then I felt, and I thought it was Colin, come over from his bed and sat on my bed. Because I could feel the, you know...
The mattress
said,
going down, yeah.
Stop scaring me.
Yeah.
And I pull the mattress over my head.
Yeah.
Then the next thing, what happens, he's over to me and he said, oh, I was in my bed, I was asleep. I went, oh, no, not these ghosts.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a good talk with my gran the next morning and my mum, and I said, tell him to go away, I don't want to see them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know. And gran said, that's okay. And she put a stop to it.
Yeah.
She did something what mediums can do.
And what's that, Derek? You can request that.
It's a mantra. This mantra is she stood above me and blocked from here the crown chakra, as we call it.
Yes.
From them coming in.
Ladies of Liverpool.
It must be strange because you're vulnerable when you're doing readings, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you've got people who don't believe and then other people who are taking everything you say and it's changing their lives.
Yes.
That must be a really, it's a powerful position to be in.
Yeah.
But it must also leave you feeling vulnerable as well.
It does. So, can you believe it, Leanne? When I went to Granada, the first one, Gwen, my wife, came with me and she was reassuring me. She was driving, actually. Everything will be fine. Just be yourself and do it. And everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Well, she believed in me and backed me, you know.
Behind every successful man.
Oh, yes, I've got to agree with that.
Is that strong woman.
Yeah. And she's been my rock all these years and my best friend and everything, you know, and mother of my children. But I always remember I walked into the studios and they said, sit down. I met Becky once, who was the presenter. And she said before we went on air, I'm going to be asking you certain questions before you go on air. And I've got to tell you, I don't know whether I want to believe in it or I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be offended if I say, duh, 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 especially if your airwaves crap with some of the listeners.
Okay. Nothing like a bit of pressure, eh, Terry?
And I'm gone.
First time on telly.
Sweating.
Oh, can't even imagine.
My whole body was in a film of sweat anyway. Yeah. We got started and the first one was a little bit, not a little bit right. And I thought, oh, no. And what did I do? It's quite, Sam, please help me.
And this is your spirit guide, isn't it?
Just give me reassurance.
Yeah.
I'm here. Then it's the second one. Then the third. Then Becky one says after the third one, these have all been ladies, Derek. It's a bit tougher to prove it to the men folk. Would you agree? And I said, I suppose so, yeah. Well, the next caller, what's your name? And the next minute, all I'm getting is the voice.
Yeah.
Not seeing them, they're seeing me.
Mm-hmm.
Just at that moment, that split second, I could see a woman next to me. I went, oh, yes. Look, and I spoke. He could see me on the television. I could only, you know, speak.
Yeah.
He could see me doing this to this woman.
Yeah.
And he said, describe her to me. And I described her to him. And he said to me, how long has she been in heaven? I said, how long have you been in spirit, love? He could see me talk like this.
Yeah.
Becky once looking at me going, who's he talking to?
Yeah.
So the next thing is, she said precisely just over 4 years. I said, she's telling me just over 4 years and she's telling me she's your wife. And he went, oh my Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he said, please tell me more. And she told me what actually happened to her. And she gave me her age. She was still relatively young. She was only 61.
Mm.
And he said, I'm broke over the airways. I'm broken hearted without her. I'm lost. And I said, she's saying she knows, but she's been visiting you. And she will continue to visit you. And she loves you to bits.
Yeah.
You're her husband for eternity, she said.
Oh, way, Derek.
Anyway, that was that one. So the others seemed to roll as well. By the time I come out of the studio, the head of production and head of direction met me in the corridor. They would take me to the green room,
have
a cup of tea and stuff like that afterwards. Mm-hmm. And they waited and they got me in there and they said in front of Gwen, we'd like to sign you on a contract. What sort of contract? For you to come in here, didn't seem a lot, once a week on the Friday and do this show like this. You've just amazed Rebecca, mean and Becky.
Yeah.
Because she said, I don't believe in all.
They weren't prepared for that worthy at all.
So I started doing it. I was only doing it for 2 months and I was loving it. And then next minute I get called by these two heads and said, we want to sign you on a longer contract. I said, what? We're going to produce another show. So you'll be going out Wednesday nights and Friday. You're that popular.
Yeah.
The people, we've had to put new lines in and everything.
They need more, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what happened there.
And is that where Most Haunted came about?
Yvette Fielding, who ran Most Haunted with Carl Beattie, her husband, was sitting in one of my audience because I was doing a show later on.
Yeah.
Doing readings for people in the studio. You know, so like 100 people sitting there.
Yeah.
And I just go to them like this. She was sitting with her husband, and I must have gone to her husband and said with a message. I can remember his face going, and she's gone, yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, they collared me after the show as I walked into the green room, saying, that was fabulous. You were talking, you know, to his dad.
Yeah.
And this, that, and the other, and his young brother that passed. We've got a new television show that we want to do. Would you be the medium in it? And I said, what does it mean? Are you a show? What I mean, where we go to haunted locations and the medium picks up and sees what's there at the location. I said, I've done a little bit of those sorts of things privately, but I've not. I don't know whether I could do it on television.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't say yes to them. I went home and I told Gwen all about it, and she said, well, have a word with them. So they actually called to our house. They lived in Manchester.
Mm.
And won't they convince me? And the next minute I signed a contract and then the show started.
The rest is history. It blew up, didn't it?
Yeah. It was like...
Everyone knows the name Derek Acora.
That's my old mum used to say.
Everyone knows the name.
My mum, you know what she used to do when we first started? In her street, most of the men, the husbands, had died. And about 6-7 houses just had the women still left. And my mum used to invite the women over to ours to watch the series of Most Haunted and have sarnies and a little drink.
Oh,
I believe it was hilarious because he said, had they had cameras on them when anything was happening to me, not just me mum, some of the women who were the neighbours, leave him alone, get off him, leave him, I'll kill you, you know.
It's like Gogglebox before Gogglebox.
Exactly.
That would have been a brilliant show.
Yeah.
Watching your girls watch you.
That's what they did.
That's Liverpool for you, that.
Yeah,
we're always looking after our own, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
In Liverpool, have you ever been anywhere where it stands out to you as somewhere that's quite tortured?
Right. Like gravestones?
Yeah.
And there are two that are built like the pyramids.
I know where you mean.
Seen them?
Yeah.
So white ones?
The corner of Rodney Street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, that was all fenced in.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was asked by a well-known Liverpool investigator, he wanted to test me on this sort of thing. This is when I was doing Granada.
Right, okay.
I said, okay, Tom Slemon, you've probably heard.
I've heard, he's got the books, hasn't he?
Yeah, Tom, yeah. Good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in order for us to get in this yard, graveyard, see it's all fenced, we have to climb over that fence. And I said, that's about 7 foot.
Yeah.
He got ladders, and it was against the law to do it.
But over you went.
Over I went. And as I got close, this is in daylight, as I got close to the two pyramids, I went, oh my God, that sort of man standing just looking at me there, just staring, I'm looking over the pyramid. Then I looked, and there's a woman. Tom Slam's got the camera on, he's, you know, can you ask him anything? So I asked him who he was and who the woman was, and that he was buried, not in that shape thing, like a pyramid.
Yeah.
Below it.
Right.
And he was unusually buried because he was buried upright like this.
Right.
What he wanted.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm given all this information, and then I found out this was his wife, and who they were very well, let's say, known people in Merseyside. I believe he was very rich.
Yeah.
Because in his day, I think he had something to do with, you know, the shipping lines.
Yeah.
And where they made a lot of money, these people who had these companies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of them. But there was also something attached, because it was Tom who said afterward, "You've opened up a can of works here, Terry." So he said, "Come, let's go into this cafe. We'll sit down. I'll show what you've just come out with."
Yeah.
Now, this information is not out there. When you said about him and who he was, he said he was supposedly buried up like this.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't live very far. His property, his home, was a big home, virtually opposite in its day.
And you just came up with that?
Yeah. And then he said, "Right, whoa, this is amazing." Of course, Gwen was there, and she said, "Well, what do you think?" "Oh, this is real. This is real.
Yeah.
I want to take you to one more location. Have you got the time?" And I said, "Well, yeah." So we went to Penny Lane.
Right.
And in Penny Lane, there's a number of businesses, and there's one little, there's a print shop there. Right?
Yeah.
And we stopped there, and I said, "Print shop, yeah. You should know when you walk in." So we walked in, and I think there was four staff. There was two men and two women.
Yeah.
And all doing different things and a computer. As I walked in, I went, "Whoa!" You know the psychic breezes?
Yes.
A 10 times stronger than that down there. And then I looked and I saw this thing move across at the back. So I left everyone and ran down. And as I pushed the door open, there was a toilet. And there's the spirit man. I could see he wasn't English. He wasn't born, you could see.
Yeah.
And he's like, at me, you know. So I come back out and I said, "Have you had unusual things?" You know, to the owner. "Oh, the machines going on and off. The heating is no use because it's working, but it's always cold in here."
Yeah.
So I told him what so I went back in. And this time, Tom came in with me with the camera. And I started talking to this man who was from Sardinia.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he found himself in Liverpool is because he was a seaman.
Right.
And he said he was murdered.
In that property?
On the dock.
Oh. How did he end up in this property?
Well, I'll tell you what happened.
Go on.
That place, many years ago, okay, was part of a big building that had manufactured goods that gets taken to the docks and delivered abroad, like cotton and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was put, that little shop was, the whole block.
Yeah.
Was one of the, because Tom Fleming was talking about it. That's when he's come in, he said, and he was down on the dock and he remembers that there were two men who attacked him. And in other words, his lights went out and he was found in water. He drowned, but he'd been murdered.
Yeah.
And he was angry. And he decided, you know, that's it. I'm going to really let these people know I'm here.
Yeah. And so what do you do with something like that?
Well, I had to do what we call a spiritual rite and sit down and explain to him that he doesn't need to be here. Hovering here, he needs to move on.
Yeah,
he'd be a lot happier, and he wouldn't get, be angered and stuff like that. Because what he was angry about was the ones who killed him.
Yeah,
he wanted to get them, you know?
And he was never going to find them. He was just roaming around aimlessly.
Yeah.
So you know when you pass over, I'm sure people listening are gonna, they'll have had this thought or they'll have had this conversation. And sometimes, if like me, you'll go and see a spiritualist and they'll say, you know, if someone's just recently passed, it's hard to talk to them. Yeah. Can you talk us through what you believe, what your understanding is of someone passing over into the next life?
Yes. Well, the first actual experience that we all experience, you know, who go over, is you're no sooner away from your body. That's your spirit.
Yeah.
And you're in another place, another dimension, which is the spirit world.
Yeah.
It happens like that. But what actually happens to everyone experiences it, loved ones that have passed over before.
Yeah.
Like if your mum or your dad or your grandparents or any person you've known in your life have gone over, they immediately come to you and greet you.
So that's a real thing, because I've witnessed that when someone's about to pass over and they talk to someone who's already passed and you make excuses in your head. You say, oh, it's a lack of oxygen and it's the other.
No.
You believe that is true.
Just quickly, my dad passed away from home. He had cancer later on in life, and he was lying in his bed. All the family knew he was close because we were told by the doctors and the nurses.
Yeah.
And this day, or every day, the Macmillan nurses used to come in, see how he was and, you know, encourage him and stuff. And this one day, he really went down and everyone was get to his house now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at that time, I had a brother and a sister both living in America.
Oh, hey.
And they flew over. But they just managed to get home in time. But on the day that he passed, I can never forget it. We had family members. He was downstairs in the living room because the bed was placed there. He couldn't walk. So the room was full of family members, two Macmillan nurses.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on the end of this bed. It's like, you imagine, he's sitting there. One of my sisters from America is sitting there to keep him steady.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking that way, and he asked, could he have a cup of tea and a piece of toast soldiers?
Yeah.
So one of my sisters raced out there, made it for him. And I'm doing that to help him. He's eating.
Yeah.
Next minute, he went, oh, and he started talking. Well, he was very quiet before. And you know what he said?
Go on.
At that moment, Dad! Oh, Alice, Julia, oh, can I see you? And I looked, and I could see my granddad, and I could see that they were going like this to him.
Yeah.
And he said, I heard my granddad, my granddad saying, come on, son, you go and have a nice sleep, and we'll be with you.
Yeah.
And he said, it finished with that. They say, can you lie me down?
Yeah.
Lay him down. It had only a matter, they disappeared. It was only, honestly, Leanne, it was only a matter of maybe 2 minutes. And at that time, the nurses were there and they went and checked him.
Yeah.
And they said, your dad's gone.
Yeah.
But also what happened, three of my family members, a couple of aunts and a niece, were standing where these spirit people, my family, came.
Yeah.
And they felt the breeze because they all went, jeez, what's that?
Yeah, they felt them there. Yeah. My mum always makes excuses, and I'm going to play this back now, you talking about this. Yeah. She was very poorly about 10 years ago, longer, and she had her last ride. She's still with us now. Mm-hmm. She fought back and she made it. Don't know how, but she did.
Yeah.
And I remember her telling me, I came in to visit one morning, and she said to him, oh, I had a strange vision. I must have had a temperature or whatever, but your nana was with me. And she said, my mum was only, you know, it must have been in her late 40s, then maybe early 50s. And she said, my nana had said to her quite clearly, sat on the end of the bed, held her hands and said, you can't die now. Our Jack, my younger brother's too young. This isn't your time.
Yeah, she told her.
So don't worry, you're not coming with me. I'm just here to let you know.
Your mum's had a true expense.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've always believed that was true. And she said, oh, it must have been just the illness. It must have been part of my illness.
It was true.
But it's lovely to think that could happen, you know.
And it happens to a lot of people, you know. If people were wanting to talk about their experiences, you'd see an awful lot. But a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
So you don't hear about it being documented in big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If you spoke to a lot of nurses who are in wards where the elderly were, or I suppose people who've got, you know, a deep illness, they en masse have seen spirit loved ones at the sides of the beds when they're walking, especially nighttime when they're doing the night shift.
Yeah.
And they walk, when they turn all the lights off, and they're walking through just so everyone's up, and they see someone sitting there next by the bed holding the person's hand, or they've seen them standing over the head doing this.
Yes, true.
And then when they walk past again, like, gone. But always as a sign that person who they've come to, they've come for them.
Yeah.
They've passed away during the night.
So hospitals are like a melting pot.
Absolutely.
The spirits coming
all over
to
the world, Leanne.
People.
Not just one hospital, not just one. town, not one country. It's happening all over.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
You're with it being Halloween.
Yes.
Just to spook us out a little bit for the people now who are really all ears and they've turned the volume up on the phones listening to this.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through your most terrifying experience?
Yes. My most terrifying experience was in the series of Most Haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was something like the third series. And we went into Manchester to a place of all places, a wine bar, would you believe it?
Right.
And when I pulled outside, I said, "We're coming to investigate a wine bar." "Oh, you don't know anything about it," a vet said. "Wait till you come inside." So we go in. And that was early morning. And we were going to be there all through the night. So we walked through and there's the wine bar seats where people stand, the big floor, and drinking. He said, "Come past the bar now." And the manager took us through. As you went down the bar, they opened this side door. When you looked through, it was all cobblestones. Not like what you just left.
Yeah.
Cobblestone, big things, old.
Everything just changed in front of your eyes.
And the walls, all the old brick. Said, "Down here." So we go down, there's like very thin, not alleyway, but, you know, very thin place. Where, and right at the very bottom was this metal ladder that went from the floor through into the ceiling. Like, you know, you got these blocks here. And it was done similar to that, but if you lifted it up and pushed it over, that's told, once I got up there, lift it, put your head in and see what you're going to see. So, not knowing what I was going to see, I got up there, quietly pushed it. Look, I went, "Oh my God, how can this be?"
What was it?
And it's a church above, okay,
what?
With this massive organ. From floor to ceiling, the biggest organ I've ever seen in my life, the whole wall. I saw something running across the room. So I come down and I said, "You want to get the cameras rolling now? I've just seen a spirit person run across the behind the organ." Anyway, what I experienced there on that investigation is there were two very bad, negative, nasty souls that were there.
Yeah.
And they were grounded. They were haunting the place.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't coming and visiting like nice people.
No.
And they tried to kid me that they were nice people.
So they're playing mind games with you, saying things
do,
to you, crafty.
Yeah. And they got all that facility there, still there. Anyway, it turned out that I'd never done this before. It's what we call channeling.
Yeah.
Some people say, "Oh, look at this. He's been possessed." Channeling is totally different than possession. Possession is when the person, the recipient, the person meaning like me, communicates with the spirit and say to the, you can come in for a short space of time and use my vocals for the first time since you passed, as long as you know, you're coming for the right reasons.
Yes,
I got to know this name before I did any of that. And his name was Jeffrey Parks. And I said, "This spirit man's called Jeffrey Parks. And this man was brought in for murder. But he was never charged."
Mm.
And I said, "And also rape." Well, what we did in those series, we used to have investigators that used to check
all the crime records. Yeah.
And sure enough, they found Jeffrey Parks. And he had been brought in a number of times.
Yeah.
Just like the Ripper was before he got caught. But he didn't have enough evidence. He actually died a natural death of a heart attack.
Yeah.
But he was never brought up by justice. So what he actually did, they can reason things out.
Yeah.
What if I leave here at death? What's going to await me? Am I going to go to a hell?
Right, okay.
So that's what these grounded ones do. They go, "I'm staying here. I'm not going to..."
Just in case.
Justice.
Yeah.
So there was him. But there was another one that was there, that moved about the place, and it was a man that actually worked for Jeffrey Parks.
Yeah.
Passed over at different times, maybe a couple of years, but they were both of evil intent. And what Jeffrey Parks didn't say to me was, when he was trying to convince me, I let him do this on camera. And you've got to remember, I'd never tried this before.
No.
So I didn't know what the sensation of feeling was going to be like.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself before, if it doesn't feel right, I'll get it out, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd also spoken to Sam quietly. Anyway, just as this parks does it and it gets part the way through my auric field, I recognised another thing jumping like this over and the second one coming in.
Yeah.
Oh. And I was just totally out of it. Didn't know what was going on. Camera was rolling.
Yeah.
And I started talking and, oh, the anger from the soul, it was unbelievable. It frightened all the cameramen. It frightened my wife. She'd never seen this with me before. Yeah. She's going, oh, stop him, stop this, this.
And you can't control anything? No, you're no, just, no. Oh,
so,
my.
One thing led to another, and it just so happened that Sam had had enough,
mm-hmm.
and he got them out. But the damage they did was sufficient for me to stop me from continuing doing the investigation, because what they did to me is they stopped my blood flow in my legs, and I fell to the ground, and I felt as if I'd been crippled.
So there's real physical damage?
It was real. I got taken to hospital. And
have you done it since, Derek, or was that the one and only time?
No, I did it 3 or 4 times, but I checked out on the ones afterwards, really.
Yeah.
And they were benign spirits, and what they said they were, they were.
Yes.
But that was the most evil, horrible thing. And I would always say to a medium, up and coming or whatever, if you ever get asked to channel,
yeah,
please, please check out thoroughly that you're not being kidded
mm-hmm.
by a negative soul.
Wow. What an interesting listen. I think this is going to get so many listens, this podcast, because I could talk to you all day, but sadly I can't. I can't let you go without asking you the all-important question.
Go on.
And no pressure at all, but without giving me a full reading, because I know that's not what we're here for. No. Can you sense anything around me right now?
It's not strong at the moment mm-hmm. because invariably you're not being visited at this moment.
Yeah.
However, what I can on the psychic level, as I put the two of them together,
yeah,
is see energies around you that are and then they're not.
Okay.
And more than any other soul right now, okay, you've got a man's interest in the world of spirit.
Okay.
And I know he's a grandfather. He loves you to bits. He couldn't do enough for you. You're his babe. And it's like as if he's walking and has been walking around the world as a spirit bragging about you. And my guide Sam said to tell you, he was definitely at your wedding.
Oh, bless
them. He said, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And you've married a good un.
Do you know what, Derek? You don't even know what that means, because I got married very young.
Did you?
And I'm getting all choked up already, yeah. But I got married because we lost my granddad. And I didn't want anyone else to pass. I wanted them to be there. Oh, well. What an ending to a podcast. Thank you, Derek.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.